see. And this is a light tube. It'd be sort of a big version of a fiber optic cable. And you can see as I put the laser in here, you can see the laser beam gets pushed toward the middle of the light tube. When they make a fiber optic cable or a light tube like this, they put layers of plastic that have different refractive index. Refractive index is just, it tells us how the material slows the light down and bends the light. We use the principle of refractive index for our eyeglasses to be able to focus our eyes. And so we can see that
we have the lights a little bit down. Could you turn the lights off?
So we can see that there. And does anybody have a ring?
Yes. Somebody have a diamond ring, a big diamond ring they could just hold out here. Okay, now we're going to test. No, you can leave it on. We're going to test to see if this is really real or not. So you all look up at the ceiling, okay?
Is it sparkling up there?
Is it sparkly? You got the real thing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You're not in trouble, brother. Okay.
We can have the lights back up again, please.
So we prize diamonds because they have the highest refractive index. That is, they bend the light the most. So the light goes in, hits the facets, and bounces around, comes back out the top, and looks all sparkly and glittery. And so you can see that refractive index is very romantic. Okay.
Now here's another demonstration
with refractive index. So the Pyrex glass that we make glassware with, we use in the laboratory, has the same refractive index as vegetable oil does. And so when I put the test tube in here, you'll see that it'll disappear. It'll go away.
See
how it goes away? I had a little boy in one school. He asked me to slather his whole body with vegetable oil so that he could disappear. It goes away. So we picked up a chip on our windshield yesterday or Friday, and so I got the crack guy to fix it. And they play that same trick. They take an epoxy resin that has the same refractive index as glass does, and they that's how they smooth it over to try to get rid of that crack in your windshield. So that's the same principle.
If we could have the next slide, please.
So when we think about electromagnetic spectrum, let's start at the high energy end. Gamma rays, we use gamma rays to kill cancer cells in the body. They could be dangerous to us, but we can also use them for healing. Next slide. And you know about x-rays. I tell people I grew up in a time, and so did some of you, when people hated children because we used to have x-ray machines in the shoe stores. Remember that? X-ray machine? We'd all run in there first thing and stick our feet in those x-ray machines and look at the bones in our toes. Can you imagine, you younger people, can you imagine letting children x-ray their own feet? Can't imagine such a thing. Okay, next slide. And we have a poster here, and they're made of UV beads. And that is, they contain a photochromic chemical. And this photochromic chemical, when I'm in upper level chemistry classes and so forth, I can talk about how it's sp3 hybridized and all that wonderful kinds of stuff. But it's enough to show that the UV light can actually change the color of the beads.
We're going to reveal a hidden message.
Yeah. Okay.
And it says, go to Bob Jones University and study science.
Yeah, there it goes. That's all there.
Now, if I were to take this out into the light, we discovered that the sun's rays have a few more waves of UV light coming down.
Yeah, there's a broader spectrum of UV in the sun.
And it would look like that one up there. Okay.
Yeah. And then those beads we bought, the ones that are still white, we thought there was something wrong with them. We called the manufacturer and said, there's something wrong with these beads. They said, take it out in the sun.
And this is what you're supposed to respond then to this. Use this. Or.
Okay. Next slide. So there's infrared. And so if you've ever been to a science museum, they have infrared cameras. And so the white parts of your are the hot parts, and the blue is the cool parts. And so we often use infrared cameras to look at homes, see where the heat leaks are. We use them for infrared for night vision goggles. You know, so when the Army's out on, you know, they're trying to capture the bad guys, you try to have night vision goggles so they don't shoot you, you can see them. And so that's important. Next slide. Microwaves. And I'm surprised because I always ask the kids how do microwaves work, and they never can tell me. They just know you stick something in there and push the button. And so I hope you understand that microwaves are tuned to the rotational spectra of water molecules and cause the water molecules to go to spin faster. That's how to heat your food. Okay, next slide. And then radio waves. When we think of radio waves, of course, we think of radio and TV and so forth, but also, you know, power generation, any, you know, that part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And so I have a machine here called a ring launcher. And ladies always want to, they ask me, they say, well, what does it do? I say, well, it launches rings. They say, what else does it do? I said, it doesn't do anything else. And they think that's such a waste. I don't know why the ladies are like that, but they think it's a waste. And so we have a coils of wire here, and the electrons are going this way. Electrons go according to the right-hand rule. And you say, why doesn't it do it according to left-hand rule? Well, I don't know. God made it that way. And they actually have a whole message on the fact that God created handedness in the universe. But anyway, that's another thing. So it goes this way, it produces a magnetic field along this bundle of rods. And then that magnetic field induces an electric field in this ring. That goes this way. And then we have a magnetic field opposing this magnetic field. And so it should fly to up in the air. Okay. And hopefully not destroy the lighting up there.
Whoa. That was a little close. Now, if I were to hold this down, we oftentimes will have the kids come up and try to hold this down. And you push it? Can you push it for me?
Yep. I put these magnets here so you can see the magnetic field being produced.
It's getting hotter and hotter. It gets to the point where you can't touch it anymore. Can you explain why?
Yeah, so the energy has to go somewhere. If she holds it down, the energy doesn't go into translational motion. It has to go into something, so it goes into heat. So it's a good demonstration of the first law of thermodynamics, how energy neither created or destroyed, but just changes form. So we can use it for that. And or I could put this wire around here and this light bulb, and we can turn the light bulb on that way by creating an electric field.
Can I have these two little boys? Would you like to come up and try something for me? Okay. We have these magnets, really strong magnets. Just hold it in your hand like that. That's right. Now come stand close to the...
See if you can feel the magnetic field.
See if you can feel it. Just hold your hand close. You'll just feel it shake.
Can you feel it? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You can see how strong they are. I had one in my pocket, and I was walking near a table, and all of a sudden I got stuck to the table. So there's an unseen property that we often don't think about.
Okay.
Could you tell them without the electromagnetic spectrum?
Okay, so when we think about the order of creation, why does God create light on the first day? Well, you have to have electromagnetism before you can have matter. So matter, atoms, have electrons going around the atom, and that produces a magnetic field. So you have to have electromagnetism before you create matter. And so the order is correct. Well, why does he wait till the fourth day? Well, I believe he waits till the fourth day to show who's boss. Okay, the ancient people would worship the sun as a life giver. And you can understand that. So he's saying, you know, we don't need the sun till the fourth day. So he puts it off in order to show who's in charge. Of course, he's in charge. So we have, and there's actually two Hebrew words when it talks about it in the Old Testament. There's a word for light, and then there's a word for light bearer, you know, the light bearers that were created on day four. So it all works out together. You know, the Bible is not a science textbook, but everything the Bible says about science is true.
Can we have the next slide, please? So at that point, the earth was just a big blob without any form or shape. And on the second day of creation, God separated the waters beneath the firmament from the waters above the firmament. So what is the firmament? Well, it's the place that contains the sky and outer space. And there's another part of God's unseen creation in the sky, and that is air. Okay? Some people will say, if I don't see something, I can't believe in it. So they'll say, I can't see God, so I don't believe he exists. But right now I want everybody to take a big breath with me. Did you see what you just breathed in? No, but do you believe it's there? You better believe it's there. There's a lot of things that we don't see, but we believe it's there because it makes everything work. Now, Dr. Matsko has a special chemical called hydrogen peroxide that contains oxygen, and you can't see it, but he's going to add another chemical to it, and it will become visible.
So hydrogen peroxide is H2O2, so it has extra oxygen. You know, sometimes we put it on a cut or something, it'll bubble up. So what I'm going to do is add some dish detergent to it, so you can see the oxygen that's produced. This oxygen, like the oxygen we breathe. And I'm going to add a catalyst, potassium iodide, and this will cause the oxygen to be released quickly. We have catalysts in our body. We call them enzymes, help us digest our food.
Whoa. You can see the heat over it, the steam.
Yeah, sometimes they call that elephant's toothpaste. For a good reason.
I'll take it, hon.
Okay.
So if someone tells you they don't believe in God because they can't see him, like I said, there's many things we can't see. Now, Dr. Matsko is going to explain the unseen properties of air in another demonstration, in a couple of them. Okay, the Har bottle. We have the next slide.
Next slide, please.
Oh, we forgot.
You didn't do that. Did you skip down?
Uh-oh, we don't want the next slide.
Yeah. Go back.
Backwards, sorry.
Okay, so must be an old set of slides.
Okay.
So anyway,
it's a hard bottle.
So this is just a balloon inside a glass bottle, and I blow it up, and the balloon stays blown up like that. See? You ever see the inside of a balloon before? Okay. I hate tying off balloons. This way, you don't have to bother with it. You just push it, and it goes back again. So who can tell me why the balloon stays blown up? This young man can. What? The hole? Well, that's right. The air goes in the hole. What keeps it blown up? Okay. So we have this 8 miles of air on top of us, pushing down on us all the time. And so that air can push on the inside of the balloon, but it can't push on the outside of the balloon because it's covered by glass. So it only pushes on the inside of the balloon, and that's what keeps it blown up. So it's a good way of illustrating the unseen part of God's creation. We don't think about the air. We don't feel it because we have the same pressure of air pushing back on the inside. Now, if we go underwater, you can feel that water pressing on you, that difference in pressure, but we don't feel it here. So a good illustration of the air. And then what would you call these things? Some people call them, that's good boy, that's good. You don't call them suction cups because there's no such thing as suction. Okay? They're pressure cups. So I push them together, I push the levers down, and it pushes all the air out from between them. You can't pull them apart. See? Okay. You could probably lift small children with it. That would be good. Okay, so I figured, I calculated it's probably about 200 pounds. Okay, so that's the air, the column of air. Since there's no air in between, it's keeping them pushed together. Okay, so I call them pressure cups instead of suction cups. Okay. That to my lovely assistant. She disappeared on me. My lovely assistant ready to go? I did.
Yeah, wow, you're fast. So the trick is that had a chemical in it that will give me a chemical burn, that elephant's toothpaste. So I have to get rid of it and have this tray clean so that nobody gets burned, including myself. Okay. So just as we've seen with light, God not only created the air, but also the principles that govern how air behaves. So our next demonstration about air pressure are the dueling balloons.
Okay. You going to help me with that?
I will.
Okay. You have to have a lot of hot air to be a teacher.
And not as much to be an assistant. We have a black tube here. We're going to put one balloon on one end and the other balloon on the other. And when we release the clips, we want to find out. Now, everyone that saw this already, don't say anything, okay? Don't give it away. We're going to take a vote as to what's going to happen. Is the green balloon going to get bigger and the orange balloon get a little bit smaller? So is the air from the orange balloon going to go up into the blue, into the green balloon? Or is the green balloon going to get smaller and the orange balloon get even bigger than Dr. Matsko blew it up as? That's awfully big.
Well, let's see what happens.
Okay.
Or will nothing happen, which happens in my demonstrations a lot. Nothing happens. Okay, let's get a vote. So how many think the green balloon is going to get bigger? Okay. How many think the green balloon is going to get smaller? How many think nothing's going to happen? How many don't think? Okay.
Okay, keep your eye on the green balloon. See what happens.
So the green balloon gets smaller. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes the kids think if you do it this way, it'll make a difference. But it doesn't make any difference. So why does the green balloon get smaller? Because it has to do with the difference between pressure and force. So I have a little push pin here. I put that between my fingers and I push down. What's going to happen? The kids say, you're going to get stuck. Well, that's right. I'm going to get stuck. But my thumb's going to get stuck because the area is smaller. So the smaller the area, the higher the pressure. Okay? Smaller the area, the higher the pressure. And so you know that's true when you blow up balloons at home for a party or something. When's the hardest time to blow up a balloon? It's when it's small. When you first start, sometimes you stretch it to try to make the area bigger so that the pressure's less. Okay? Smaller area, higher pressure. And so it really helps the kids understand the difference between force and pressure. So God not just created the hardware, you know, like the sea and the air and so forth. He created the software, too, that makes it all work. You know, the scientific principles, he created those as well.
I've always wanted to do this. I'm going to do it right now.
Okay.
You have to have some fun, right? Okay, now air is very important, as we've seen. But now let's talk about the water from day two. Water's everywhere. It makes up our oceans, our rivers, our lakes, our seas, and even over half of our bodies. Water is colorless, clear, odorless, and tasteless. Just think if it had a taste, then every time you made something with water, it would taste like whatever the water tasted like. God, in his great wisdom, made water very, very unique. We actually call it a miracle chemical. But have you really ever thought much about water? I mean, after all, what makes water water? We can see water, but it has many unseen properties. For example, water is the only chemical that exists as a solid, liquid, and gas on the surface of the earth. boys here, you know what happens if you put ice cubes in a glass of water. Do they float or do they sink?
Float.
Oh, good. The other day I had someone tell me they sunk. But I wonder what he put in his ice. And it floats because the solid form weighs less. It's less dense than the liquid. And that is the only chemical that we know of that does that, right?
Yeah, because of the hydrogen bonding, when the ice crystals form, they form end to end, and it gives space in between. And so ice has a lower density than the liquid it comes from. And so this is really important. You think about it. From some of you winter Texans know, when it freezes nearby home and the lakes freeze, they don't freeze from the bottom up. Okay, that's what would happen if the ice was more dense, and all the fish would die. But it freezes on top, and so the ice forms an insulating layer over the lakes and streams and allows the life to exist after, you know, in cold weather. And so some of you maybe have done ice fishing and that type of thing. So God made this miracle chemical with this unique property that other chemicals don't have.
And because when we go to Australia, we're in the tropics, they've never seen snow. I know a lot of you have seen snow. But there are some people here, some little ones maybe, that have never really seen snow or touched it. So we like to make what we call insta-snow. We have this chemical here, a powder called sodium polyacrylate.
Good job.
And it's hydrophilic. It loves water. So when he pours water on this, it's going to absorb all the water and turn into snow.
This is the kind of snow they use in Kuwait and Saudi Arabia to ski on, where it's too hot for regular snow.
Whoa.
So you get nice fluffy snow, see?
And it actually feels cool to the touch. Okay. And so what do we use that product for? For something that needs to absorb a lot of water. Now, most of the children in this room have used them when they were babies. Can you think of something babies use that has to absorb a lot of water? Diapers. No, diapers. And it's actually a cousin to the sodium polyacrylate because it forms a gel. So don't go home and cut open all your baby brother's diapers because it won't look like this, okay? We'll take that outside maybe between Sunday school and church and you can all have a touch to it. Okay, so now another unseen property about water that's been revealed by science is that water has an unusually high surface tension. Now, kids, you know, they have no idea what that means. And actually, I didn't know what that meant either, a high surface tension. But all it means is that water is sticky. Okay? Did you know that water was sticky? When you spill it, it doesn't feel sticky, does it? But it is very sticky. And we have a demonstration that's a good example of this because what's going to happen... Where's my ball?
I don't know what you did with it.
It's here it is. It's hiding. It's trying to get away. It's just some plastic with water inside. And when I throw this at my husband, I mean at the tray my husband's holding, it will go flat. And then it's going to go back into a ball because of that stickiness of water.
Go ahead.
Am I a pretty good shot?
I don't know. We'll find out. Don't hit me. She hit me once.
Maybe you should throw it at me. Okay.
Here, you stand there so I can see. All right.
Did it work?
Yep, it worked. So it's just water, and the water adheres to itself. It has high cohesion, and so it goes back to a spherical shape.
So if we could have the next slide, that's great.
No, that's not the...
Yep, it is.
Okay.
The next slide is the picture of... Yes.
But that's what you wanted
to... Do you want to talk about that?
That high cohesion allows the water to go through the roots of the plants. So as the water evaporates from the leaves, it pulls the water up through the stem of the plant from the roots of the plant. So without that high cohesion, again because of the hydrogen bonding, plant life would not be possible. Next slide. So our bodies also are made of water. Our blood is mostly water. And so again, without the high cohesion, the blood wouldn't be able to get through the small capillaries. Next slide. Okay, and here's a demonstration of this surface tension. I have a jar with a screen on it, and I'm just going to fill the jar with water.
Just dip some more out of the.
Okay, get some more here. Need some more. And I'll put the cup on here, the plastic. And then take this off, and notice that the water stays in the jar. Okay. See, can you see this, Pastor? Okay. So the high surface tension, the water adheres to itself and adheres to, and it only has some adhesion with the screen. If I just turn it sideways, then it all comes out.
So water is sticky. It has a high surface tension. It has cohesion. If we could have the next slide, please. 71% of the Earth's surface is covered by water, and it's the ability of water to absorb or release large quantities of heat that creates a livable temperature for us here on the Earth. So another one of God's unseen properties with water is its high heat capacity. Can you kids say that with me? High heat capacity. And that's simply a measure of how much materials can store up heat as they change temperature. And water has one of the highest heat capacities of any substance, and we want to show that to you right now. Do we have a volunteer for us from the audience? Come on. You want to come up? Okay.
This is an air-filled balloon. So just hold it in between your hands like that and then lower it over the flame. Okay. Slowly lower it over the flame. Good job. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Now I have a water balloon. Okay. You can come on up. What I want you to do is sit right here on the floor underneath the candle. Okay, Dr. Masco is going to hold the balloon.
You've been wet before, haven't you?
Just sit down on the floor and turn around and face everybody so they can see what you're going to look like. Back up a little bit. You be closer to the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make sure you get good and wet.
Down a little bit. Okay. Okay, just stay there.
Okay. You get good and wet here. What's it look like? Easy.
It's a black balloon.
I think it's pretty dirty. You can see it's black. I could actually hold it there until the water boiled in the balloon.
Thank you.
The water has such a high heat capacity that it absorbs the heat faster than the candle can produce it and keeps the balloon from burning or melting.
Now, without all the water on the Earth would get too cold at night when the sun's not shining and too hot during the day when the sun's not is out. So no other planet has as much water as Earth does, and that's why life can exist only on Earth. Now, Dr. Masco has another demonstration showing this high heat capacity of water.
This is the one we did the other night. If you remember, we had isopropyl alcohol in mixed with salt water. And so what's going to happen is the alcohol will burn, and the salt water will protect the rag from burning. Somebody said, how do you know if you're successful in your ministry? I said, if the fire engines don't come, I'm successful. So you can see the rag doesn't burn at all, that the water absorbs. Again, it has such a high heat capacity, the water absorbs the heat from the alcohol, and the rag doesn't burn. And the salt's there to give you that yellow flame so you can actually see it. Otherwise, it would be a non-luminous flame and wouldn't look like much. So that's part of the...
Now, you know what the rag's made out of, right? Cloth. Can you think of something else we might be able to dip down in there to test and see if it's... To see if it... Yeah, dollar bill. Does anybody have a... I think he got rid of his $50 that he did the other day. Anybody have a bill out there they want us to try that they don't need? No. No? That's the treasurer. Here we go. She's got a 5. Okay. She's got great trust in us here. See whether it's going to work. Now, I will say this much. I have a $5 Australian bill. And like I said, we went to Australia. But their money's not made out of cloth. Their money's made out of plastic. And guess what happens when you burn it? He did it. But he didn't use a $5. He didn't use a $10. He didn't even use a $20. He used a $50 bill. He doesn't like me to tell this story, but the end
what
of
we call money laundering.
It's very clean, very wet. No, it's not hot at all. Anyway, the end of the story about the $50 bill is that we gave it to the missionaries, and they were able to get their bank to trade it. So they ended up with a $50 contribution that we weren't planning on giving. So that was good in the end. Okay, now, because I told that story, he's gonna get me back.
Okay.
Let's see. Here we go. We need this. He's going to actually set me on fire. What? I have great confidence in what God has made, his unseen property of high heat capacity. The water is going to protect my hand when he sets it on fire.
Very good.
And normally we have the pastor, have you done it? Come and try it. Or the teachers. Just dip your hand up to your wrist. In that way. And then just scoop some bubbles. Off the top. Just off the top. There you go. And hold your hand flat.
Here we go.
My sermon was on fire.
I was in a church once where I set the pulpit on fire. Those people have been praying that pulpit be on fire for years, and I finally did it.
If we could have the next slide, please. So in Genesis 1:9-13, we read that on the third day of creation, God caused the dry land to bulge up out of the waters and form the mountains and hills and deserts, and he covered all the dry land with plants and trees and bushes. And on the fourth day of creation, the next slide, please, now we're up to where God created the sun, moon, and stars. And I'd like to ask the children, do you know how far away the sun is? It's 93 million miles away. And I can't even imagine a million in my mind. So I asked my husband to do some math and tell me, if I drove 60 miles an hour in my car, how long would it take me to drive 93 million miles? And he said 177 years. But then he...
Might be faster the way you drive.
Or it might be longer because of all this brakes. You know, we've been driving around the country a lot, and I have to stop a lot at the rest. Okay, but the sun is in just the right place. If we were any closer to the sun, we'd all burn up like little crisps. If we were any further away, like Mars, we'd all be icicles. And we get all the energy from the sun, and we turn it into electricity. And that electricity, obviously, we have to have, but you don't see it again. You see the results. You see the lights in your TV, and you get to charge your cell phone. And we want to do two demonstrations now to show you that electricity can flow across our bodies without hurting us. When we first did some of these demonstrations, I was afraid maybe it was going to hurt my husband over, you know, a period of time. But he assured me it doesn't. Oh, look at that.
Put your hand in the water. Put your hand in the water. Put your hand in the water. Okay, now do it. Your finger
wasn't wet. Oh,
how about... Have to get some conductivity here.
But this is my favorite one. Can you tell them how much electricity was going through
us? That's 1 milliamp. So if you work that out, that's 6.2 times 10 to the 15th electrons per second that just went around our bodies. That's 6 with 15 zeros after it in every second.
We're in the schools. We have all the kids.
Gives you a sense of how small an electron is.
We have the kids all hold hands in the schools and, you know, make it work as well. And that's always fun.
Here's my
now
thimbles.
This one.
My thimbles.
Your thimbles are right here.
Okay.
This is the one I was a bit concerned about, his heart. Could we have the lights, please?
So this is Odin coil actually makes it. So I'm going to put this way here. There we go. And so this transforms it to 50,000 volts. And I can...
Still here.
Hey, go ahead. So the question is, why doesn't it kill me? And some people will say, well, there's not enough current. But there's plenty of current. The answer is that electrons are negatively charged. And don't ask me what charge is, because nobody knows. But they're negatively charged, and same charges repel each other. And so the electrons go on the outside of my body rather than on the inside of my body. And only 35% of people that are hit by lightning are killed by it for that same reason. Okay, because even though there's a lot of current, it flows on, tries to flow on the outside of the body whenever possible. Well, I actually got hit by lightning. Yeah, I lost all my hair when I got hit by lightning. A little off. Thank you.
We like to tell the children, if you're ever out in a lightning storm, this is the way you're supposed to stand. Put your feet together and get as low as you can. When I was a kid, they told me to lay flat, get as flat as you can on the earth, on the ground. But that's the worst
thing. That's back in the days when they hated children.
That's right. Because that lightning would hit the ground, and it would have run through my whole body, and that would have not been good. Okay. So we need to move on. Normally, he would talk about the sun and different ways that people believe the sun, how the sun got here, the secular scientists, the same with the moon. But we don't have the time to do that right now. But we do have one demonstration about centripetal force, how God hung the moon on nothing, hung the earth. You know, if you look at pictures, you just see it. Actually,
next
you can go
slide.
To the next slide. And you can just see that up there. It's hung on nothing. So this demonstration is going to talk about, show you centripetal or center-seeking force provided by gravity.
And what happened when you did this demonstration in the school the other day?
Do the kids remember what happened? Who was there? I think it was, what grade was it? I don't know, but anyway, the cup fell off. You go down the middle and do it over your head.
Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can do this.
What great faith they have beside you. And then we go to the next slide. We have the stars. I'm going to hurry just quickly through this because I think we do have church at 10:30, don't we? So I'm going to... Okay, so stars. There's 100 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way, and there's 2 trillion galaxies. So multiply 2 trillion times 100 billion, and that's just the stars that we can see. That's not. There's still even more stars out there that we can't see. And one of the ways we know the Bible is true when it talks about creation is that the Bible stated thousands of years before we had telescopes that the stars were without number. And how did they know that? Because God told them. We believe the Bible's inspired. Every word of God is inspired by Him, every word of the Bible. So then on the fifth day, we talk about seabirds and sea creatures and birds. And sixth day, land animals, and made the best creation of all, man. And then we tell them the gospel, talk about how man was created he was the only one that could talk to God and love God, and had a spirit that could never die. And God looked at everything and said everything was very good. But God wanted Adam and Eve to love Him and obey Him at all times. But Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. And ever since then, all people choose to disobey God. And since sin can't get into heaven, how can we get into heaven? And we explain the gospel to them. And Dr. Masco, in closing, could you please show us what people in the old days...
So before there was chemistry, there was alchemy, and the alchemists were kind of con men. And they were they pretended that they could turn base metals into gold. Now, normally, when we think about this, we think of it in terms of money.
It's right here.
Back the other way. We think of we think of gold in terms of money, but they were thinking, you can show them what it looks like. They were thinking not of that, they were thinking about eternal life, because gold seemed to incorporate the principle of eternal life. So the first thing they would do is they would soak the copper in a solution of zinc and lie, and then they and that would turn it silver.
Silver penny.
They thought it was in the right direction, and then they would
silver penny.
Then they would heat it, and it would turn into something that looked like gold. So zinc and copper give you what? What metal do you get when you... Brass. That's right. Very good. Get brass. So okay. Do another one here.
Now, if this was really gold, I tell the school kids, we wouldn't be here. We'd definitely be doing something else.
Okay, here we go.
You can close.
Okay. So, there was a Chinese emperor who had an alchemist come, and the alchemist said he could help him live forever because gold had the principle of eternal life, because you put it in the ground and dig it up 1,000 years later, it's still bright and shiny. And so he mixed mercury liquid with egg yolk to make it gold-looking and told the Chinese emperor to drink that. And, of course, it killed him dead as a doornail. And it killed the bacteria that would normally cause his body to decay as well. So it looked like they were on the right track as far as they were concerned. And so, but we know the principle of eternal life. Eternal life comes through Jesus Christ, God's Son. And that's, I'd like to leave it today, that we can have full confidence in God's Word and in Jesus Christ, God's Son. So thank you very much for your good attention. We'll get cleaned up right for the next service. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Faith Baptist Church. This morning, let's go ahead and stand up as we sing our first three songs. Our first song, we'll go ahead and sing 10,000 Reasons, right on the screen above me. Verse 1, ready? Sing.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His Lord. Power of rest.
Hallelujah, continue on my skin.
Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can praise your name, Lord, that we can extol you as our God and our King. Lord, that we can, Lord, praise your name and bless your name forever. Thank you, Lord, that you have a great God, and you are our Lord that is over all. Lord, thank you that we can praise you, and thank you that your greatness is unsearchable. Lord, thank you that as we think in this generation and as we look from generation to generation, we can declare your great and mighty acts. Lord, thank you that we can declare your glory and your splendor before this congregation and before the world. And Lord, people before us and people after us will continue to do so. Lord, we thank you that we can speak of your awesome deeds. We can declare your greatness to the whole world, boldly declaring what you've done. Lord, because of creation, because of the Word of God, and because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to pour out your fame and your goodness among the earth. Lord, to sing of your goodness today and sing of your righteousness. Lord, we know you are gracious. Lord, you are merciful. You're slow to anger, and you're abounding in steadfast love. Lord, your mercy is good and good to us and is over all. Lord, as we come today, even as we sing and we think about the songs that we lift up and our voices in unison together, Lord, help us to joyfully proclaim the greatness of your creation. Lord, as we think of your mercy and as we think about your graciousness and forgiving, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be mindful of where we have strayed, Lord, where we have sinned, and Lord, help us to seek your face for repentance and for forgiveness. I pray that we would, Lord, have humble hearts that would be willing to be teachable, that we would be willing to learn from the Word of God and from the man of God, Lord, that we would hear, as Dr. Matsko preaches today, Lord, that we would hear the Word of God preached, and Lord, that we would be able to have hearts that are able to be teachable and learn from what you have. Lord, as we have many missionaries across the globe, Lord, even teaching today and even at this moment, probably having times of preaching and discipleship and having conversations with those that may not even know you as their Savior, I pray that you would give boldness, you would give wisdom and open doors in how they speak, that you would help them to know the name of God and that they would declare that clearly to the people that they are with. Lord, as we're here today and we have people that may not know you as their Savior, Lord, that we have some that don't know where they will spend eternity. I pray that as they hear the Word of God, they will be convinced by the Holy Spirit that they need you, Lord, that you would work in their heart and they would submit to you in faith and repentance, Lord, and that today would be their day of salvation. Strengthen those of our members and friends and family that are not with us, that are struggling with health issues, and especially Herb and Ada Weed. I pray that you would strengthen them, and we thank you so much for how you've worked in their hearts and their lives and for their faithfulness. Lord, strengthen us as we sing. I pray that we would lift up our voices in unison, Lord, and as we hear each other singing the praises of God and hearing these things proclaimed by each other, that we would have unity, that we would realize that others believe the same thing that we do, and that we would have boldness to proclaim the greatness and the glory of God to those around us. Help us, Lord, to be servants that are following after you with all of our life in word and deed. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your bulletin, you can grab those. We'll look at those in just a second. The ushers are going to come forward. And if you're here for the first time or the first time in a really long time and aren't familiar with our church, I'd encourage you to slip your hand up. The ushers will just pass you a packet of information. Inside that packet, it tells you a little bit about our church. So just slip your hand up, grab one of those from them. There's the little yellow card in there that you can fill out and put that in the offering plate as that comes by later. And you can get to know about our church through that a little bit. And hopefully you get to know about us through our people as well. And that will be a very friendly congregation to you. And you can turn those in later. Thank you so much for being here with us today. In your bulletins, you'll see a number of different announcements and things going on. We are in our Science and Bible Conference, and we've had a wonderful week. And today we will have our service, we'll have Dr. Matsko preach in just a minute. And this evening at 6 8 o'clock, we'll have a question and answer. And so if you have questions that you would like to ask, you can just come tonight and ask those. Or I'd encourage you, even if you know what your questions are now, I'd encourage you to write them out on a piece of paper and then hand them to Dr. and Mrs. Matsko as you're leaving today, so that they can even look at that for this afternoon and be ready for that tonight. So thank you for coming so much this week, and I encourage you highly to be here tonight as we finish out the conference. CareShare groups begin this week, so make sure you're in a group and signed up. There's sign-up sheets on the way out. If you're not in a CareShare group or you haven't signed up yet, I'd encourage you to sign up this week. Even if you just want to try one out and go to it, and maybe you have to make an adjustment and go to a different one, that's totally fine. But there's probably one that will fit your schedule and that will work out. And it's an excellent time for us to be able to share one another's burdens in prayer and to encourage each other throughout the week. KCAS will have a share-a-thon this coming week. If you would like to help answer phone calls, you can talk to me or sign up in the back. It really, all you need to be able to do is answer a phone and write down a few things, and that's it. And it'll only take a couple hours a day if you want to, or just once during the week, but to see me if you want to do that. Deacons meeting this week, ladies Bible study is this coming Saturday at 8 a.m. The business meeting next Sunday, be sure to make a note of that as well. Committee meetings next week in the afternoon. So if you are on a committee, any of the committees will be meeting next week. It'll be the first one of the year. So make sure that you make a note of that. Missions conference is coming up in a couple weeks with Pearson Johnson. And the preventative health screening, you have a little flyer in your bulletin. If you've been here before, for a couple years ago, we went to these or had the early detection people come and do this screening. Next week, they will be here to sign people up. But if you're not going to be here and not going to be here next week to sign up, there is a sign-up sheet that you can just put your information down and we'll contact you. There's information there, and there's also information in this flyer that you can see about that. Ladies Craft Night, more information will be coming about that, and the Art of Parenting series. We have been talking about the Art of Parenting, and I had a sign-up sheet. I wanted to give you, we had thought about doing it as a small group or Sunday school. We're going to do it as a Sunday school, and that's going to start February 24th. So if you can, think about that and sign up early for the Art of Parenting so that we can order books for you, and that so that we can also prepare for childcare during Sunday school and have Sunday school teachers for that as well. So February 24th, we'll be starting that Art of Parenting, and it'll be a wonderful time for us to be able to learn about parenting. And if you're like me and you have kids, you know that any parenting classes that you can have are desperately needed. And I don't need to hear too many amens for that, but you know, we'll go ahead and sing our next song.
Let's continue our good singing this morning and turn our hymnals, if you will, to number 20. Praise Him, praise Him. You remain seated as we sing this song. Praise Him, praise Him.
Praise Him, praise Him. Thank you.
will come forward at this time. This is going to be our offering, our general offering. This is for the church. Okay, we're going to take an op. We are going to take up an offering after the service for Dr. Motzko and to be a blessing to him and his ministry to us. Please keep that in mind for after the service today. A laborer is worthy of his hire, right? And if you've been blessed this week, like I have, then we need to be a blessing to the Motzkos. So we will take up that offering at the end of the service. But this is for the regular general church fund. And so we'll have our normal offering at this time. Brother Sines, would you turn and ask the Lord's blessing on the offering? Amen.
Stand to our feet now, and let's turn in our hymnals, if you'd like, to number 252, Nothing But the Blood. Stanza, let's take a moment, shake hands with those around you. We have some visitors this morning. Make sure you let them know how glad you are that they're here. And kids, you're dismissed to church.